How many times have you looked in the mirror and thought that I'm not enough? I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy of love. For most of us, those lies have started years ago from trauma, from mistakes, from past experiences, and how the world has treated us. But if we don't face them, we carry them into everything we do, our recovery, our relationships, our futures. But here's the truth. You'll never rise higher than the way you see yourself. When you start to believe in your worth, you start to practice real self-love, and is when you start building real confidence. And confidence changes everything. Welcome back to the Clean Life Cast, where healing becomes a movement. I'm your host, Mason Anderson, and this is my co-host, Daniel Tapasula. This week, we're talking about something that sits at the core of every struggle and every breakthrough: self-worth, self-love, and building confidence. Because the truth is, you can have goals, you can have dreams, you can even have recovery, but if you don't believe in your worth, it's hard to hold on to any of those things. So today, Daniel and I are going to get real about the lies that we tell ourselves, about the shame that tried to hold us down, and the practices that helped us build a sense of self-worth, confidence, and a self-love that nobody can take away. This conversation is for anybody who feels stuck in doubt, trapped in their past, or unsure if they'll ever feel good enough. Trust me, you're more than enough. And by the end of this episode, I hope that you can believe that too. So we're getting into things. I just wanted to say hi, Daniel. I'm glad that we're
Hell yeah.
back at it. How's things been going?
It's been going good. On Sunday, I chilled with my grandson who turns 4 today.
Let's go.
Spent a
Happy
couple
birthday.
hours, bought him about yeah, happy birthday to Solomon. Bought him a bunch of cupcakes, chilled at the house with my son and Emily, and watched some soccer. Yesterday, I worked all day with the clients. It's so fun. Like, life's been good.
Good, brother.
Yeah, what's up with you?
Peace. Well, I'm just staying busy, you know? Like, I'd be on the grind every day. A
Yeah.
lot of physical health stuff. I've been doing a lot of yoga and working out.
Church too, yeah.
Church, I love in church, bro. I serve there on Sundays. Got some good things going with Temple.
Yeah, but when you say serve, like, what is it that, what is serve
So,
exactly?
like, my job there is a usher, so I help people find their seats. Our church has grown massively. Like in the,
What is it? What is the name of it?
it's called The Well.
The Well.
The
Yeah.
Well, yeah, up in
Ashley goes
Sandy.
there.
Ashley goes there.
Yeah.
The Well has seriously changed my life. Like, honestly, if we really broke it back down to it, there's like not a denial that, like, when I started going to The Well, that my life transformed. I think that it was an accumulation of things, but that was one of the biggest pieces that changed everything for me. I found like a sense of community outside of our community, you
Yeah.
know? And it kind of just gave me like that feeling of like I'm part of something bigger, and it's God, you know, Jesus, and the way that life has transformed for me. It's like undeniable that when that thing came into my life, that everything was different. I think that The Well is an amazing place, and it's growing so fast that like that's my what I do is to serve there. Is I do a lot of like seating people and making just greeting people as they come in and making sure people feel welcome. And then if they're first time guests or they're looking for support in one way or another, I just make sure that they're feeling like seen and heard, you know.
That's cool because services, and we touched on it the last couple episodes. Service is a big part of recovery for me too. Todd preaches it all the time: service, honesty, accountability, integrity. And I feel like service is a good way to be grounded, to provide some humility for yourself, and to make, I don't know, when I do service, I feel good about me and helping other people, not necessarily less fortunate, but just helping people, period. Like, it doesn't matter who you help, as long as the intent is just to help somebody be in a better spot, you know? I love service.
I do too. And I think that like service, like for the church, like they're one of their little tags is like welcome home.
I like that.
Yeah. And that makes me feel like service in that sense is just making people feel included, making people feel like that they're home, you know, that they
Yeah.
found their people.
And then going off community, you know, you said you found a sense of community outside of our Wasatch family. Gabe preaches it all the time about it's cool to have Wasatch as a community, and it's dope. But finding other communities, most of the time he refers to like HA. He chairs a HA meeting Sunday nights at 7:30. If you need a meeting, go
Rise and
to
grind.
KB Omega, the big homie. That's my OG. Go check out his meeting. But there's a bunch of meetings or a bunch of different ways to find communities outside of your normal community, which is cool because you can never have enough good people around you. I feel like the more good people you have around you that feel included with you can, we talked about it the other week, you know, boost up the fun, but also divide up the pain, you know?
Right. And also like the vast majority of opportunities that have come my way have been from expanding my network, you know.
Yeah.
they say like in the business thing, like your network is your net worth, like with people that you can come in contact with is like it grows you physically, like mentally, emotionally, spiritually, because like you're interacting with more and more people that have different perspectives and different outlooks on life and different ways of acquiring the things that you're looking for. So like finding a community outside of Wasatch was huge for me, and it wasn't easy for me to do. It was like one of those things that I felt comfortable and I felt at place with my people. And so like expanding out was one of those uncomfortability moments that I had to get vulnerable and really try.
You know? And you put yourself in a position where you basically have to do it. Well, you don't have to do it, because at the end of the day, it's still a choice, but you made yourself be in a spot to where that's part of what you do, service, right?
True that.
Yeah. So that's cool.
That is awesome. I think another thing that we want to talk about, like talking about our community, is like we got a couple of comments on our videos. One of them was asking, they wanted to know what was our purpose after our purpose and passion talk last week. What was our purpose for getting clean and sober? So shout out Christina.
Christina Fries, what's up?
Yeah, good looking out on the support and showing up for us and interacting with our community. That's awesome. So let me ask you, Daniel, what was it that was your purpose for actually making the shift and wanting to get clean?
It wasn't me. Like, I showed up to Wasatch on an ultimatum. I was basically told, go get help or don't come home. So I wasn't, like, my purpose wasn't to get clean. I was basically doing jail time. I was counting the days. They told me 30 days. I was like, I'd do it in 29.
Doing little marks on tallies on the wall.
But at some point, while going through Wasatch Recovery's program, like, even though I didn't participate, I liked what they were talking about. And I still didn't participate, even though it sounded like cool things to do. Service, honesty, accountability were all foreign words to me. And I had to learn the meaning of those words along the way. I had to learn what surrender was. I had to learn all these new things. Like, there's so many first time, like, things I've done for the first time going through this process. But I basically started on an ultimatum. Like, I didn't do it for me in the beginning. I just made up this quote and I shared it with some of the clients. It goes, I'll read it. Is it cool if I read it?
Yeah,
I don't remember it. I just made it last night, but it's just something that goes along with where I'm at right now. It says, I know I'm getting better because what I needed to get here is now what I want to keep going. What I needed to get me here is now what I want to keep doing for me to keep me going.
Yeah, bro. And I love that so much, because that's something that I've been feeling heavy this week. It's like a lot of the work that I've done and a lot of the things that I've set in place. And now it's like I'm here, like in my real life, like I'm in my authentic form. And now I just got to just cultivate those things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to build nothing else. I need to just make sure that the things that I have already are just flourishing and happy and moving forward.
Flourishing. Like everything I've done in the beginning was things I needed to do to to find out who I am, to find out where I really want to go, to understand why I wanted to keep going. Right. Those things were needed in the beginning. They're not necessities anymore. They're wants. Like, I want to keep finding out more about me. I want to keep finding more things about me to love. I want to keep understanding my direction and my purpose. You know, like, all the things I needed in the beginning are no longer needs. They're wants.
Yeah, I love that so much.
Yeah.
It's so true.
So, like, at some point, like, because I wanted to quit smoking dope and drinking for a long time, and I tried on my own. I gave it an honest shot. But I would lie to myself thinking I could be a functioning addict. I would lie to myself saying I wasn't hurting anybody besides me because I was only poisoning my body. All these lies, you know, were true things I believed in. You know, I really believed that I wasn't worthy. I really believed that there was nothing good about me to love. But going through Wasatch Recovery, I was able to believe that the things I was telling myself were lies. I was able to understand that I was making a bunch of this crap up, and I was able to find me. And that was the reason for me to want to quit, was because when I started finding more about me, I started finding out that I'm a pretty good guy, you know, and being a pretty good guy, like, I'm one of those all in guys. Like, being a pretty good guy is all right. I want to be the best guy I know, you know, the best version of me. And because of that, like, the mindset of being the best version of me, is now I get to be the best dad. Now I get to be the best granddad. Now I get to be the best friend that knows how to show love, show compassion, have empathy, listen. Sometimes listening, like, I learned how to listen from Perry Joe and Aubrey because they were line staff that would listen to me whine about my spot when I was in residential. And they would just be like, you're all right, you know. But that's my reason for wanting to stay sober. That's my reason for continuing my recovery journey. It was never about me in the beginning. But it ended up being, I found me along the way, and that's the reason why I do it now. You know?
Awesome, brother. And yeah. I see that in you for sure. A lot of those things that you were talking about, like you are that guy. You are a passionate, loving, caring person that does know how to listen and is there for people in a way that's like beautiful, bro, because yeah. That's what a lot of people are looking for. A lot of times they're not even needing advice. They just need somebody to be there.
Yeah. A lot of people just want to be heard, you know, like being heard makes them realize that they are somebody of worth. They do have value, you know, like, because a lot of times I felt like unheard too. I got to Wasatch, like when I would talk to some people, they hear what they wanted to hear instead of what I was saying.
Right. Well, I felt like that heavy, especially when I was younger. Like I remember having like real frustration feelings where it's like people just don't understand what I'm trying to get across.
Because you're saying something, but they're hearing something different. Like Aubrey and Perry helped me learn how to listen too. But when I got down to sober living and was doing day treatment and night IOP at the same time, I didn't want to take up space in day treatment because I had my night group. So I told myself, don't talk, just listen. And that's where I figured out how to truly listen, because I wasn't worried about trying to think of a good feedback to give. I would just listen. There's nothing else going on in my mind but to listen. And man, that was a good lesson for me to understand how to really listen to somebody, really feel what they're going through and have some compassion and grace for them, you know?
Yeah, and that's a skill, honestly. It's a skill you have to develop.
Yeah, and I did it for like a
natural.
I did it for like a month and a half. I was doing night IOP and day treatment. My housemates was clowning on me, but I picked up some good listening skills. So if anybody ever needs to talk, these ears are dope.
They are for the best ears. Yeah, so I think that's awesome, bro. And I think that you hit on a lot of like solid things. I think that, like, for myself, when it came to, like, wanting to get sober or my purpose for getting sober was, like, even in my addiction this last time. So, like, I've been in and out of addiction for, like, 19 years and, like, in and out of the prison, in and out of the jails, in and out of treatments. And I always just felt like, I'm never going to be able to figure this out. You know, like, this is going to be a constant struggle for me. But then because I got sober and relapsed so many times, like I literally feel like I tried every which way to try to make this happen with drugs in my life, and I realized that the only consistent thing in my life was drugs. Like I would change my relationship, I would change where I lived, I would change everything I could change except for drugs. And so I really did know this last time that I was deep in my addiction that the drugs were the problem and that the drugs were the reason why I couldn't figure it out. You know, so I had that drive to start business, or I had the drive to do music, or I had the drive to be fulfilling my purpose. But I knew that my mind was like too foggy and incapable of like pulling it together. I kept trying and putting it out there and it just never would stick. It would never I couldn't stay consistent enough. I couldn't build the right connections and network of people. I couldn't do the things that I needed to do. And I knew deep in my soul, I remember telling my mom, like I know if I can just get these drugs out of my life, like my life is going to take off. And at that point it was like, but will they ever be gone? And I think what happened though was like I got arrested and thought that I was going to be going back to prison, and thought like, dang dude, 10 years later, after I'm out of prison for 10 years and I tried to change my life like I did, and now it's just like a reset and I'm going back again, and like life is going to be that again. And then I was like, I'm going to be starting my life again by 40, you know? And I was just like, once they gave me the opportunity to like go to treatment to Wasatch, I was ready. You know what I mean? Like I just read my journals again last night, and it's like, dude, by my week one, I was already like locked in. Like I knew exactly what I was trying to accomplish. I knew exactly what I wanted. I knew that my mind was still foggy and I needed to give it time to heal. And I knew that but when it did, that I was going to listen to the mentors and listen to the people that knew, listen to you, Todd, Wendy, Megan. Like I knew that it was time.
Yeah. And it's crazy because like the drugs were just the things that kept us foggy. But going back to the original problem was our mindset of believing that we couldn't do it, you know? Like that's the reason why we kept drugs in our I remember one of the assignments was to write a goodbye letter to our addiction. Have you ever done that, the goodbye letter?
Yeah.
Mine's turned into an apology to my addiction, to my drug, because I was basically breaking up with my drug. Going back, like you said, something that resonates deep with me too. Like the only consistent thing in my life was drugs, right? So like trying to break up with that was like, no, it's like, I'd rather be miserable with somebody than alone miserable, you know?
For sure.
And I feel the same way. Like the only constant thing in my life was drugs. And that's the thing I could depend on. No matter how my day was going, drugs. No matter if it was a good time or a bad time, I had meth, you know? And it's hard to break the cycle of the mindset of being worthy or having anything of value, you know, until you. So for those of you that are just starting out in your recovery journey, these things that we're talking about may sound easy, but there's going to be a lot of work coming up and practicing some resilience, trying to change the mindset is a hard thing to do, especially if it's things that you told yourself and truly believe that are facts about you, like not worth, no value, broken. You can change those mindsets. We're proof that you can. You know?
Proof. And the reason why these things are so big in my mind right now is because like when me and Daniel go and speak out of school, or if we go and talk to somebody, it always somehow goes around these topics that we talked over the last couple of weeks. But the main things that we always end up on is self-worth and self-love.
Yeah.
And so like when we talk about it, like what Daniel's saying, like what lies did you believe about yourself before you made the shift that you're talking about?
Yeah. And I've told myself a bunch of lies. And I've told them long enough to where there were facts. Nobody could tell me different. Getting up to Wasatch, my therapist, Ashley, I always got to shout her out because she helped me with a lot of things I believe to be true about me. She asked me, what is the trauma that led you to your addiction? And I looked at her and I was like, bro, I had no trauma. I just loved to party. Like, I honestly believed that what I was doing was what I really wanted to do. And she helped me uncover some things and face some lies that I told myself. A lot of the lies that came about had something to do with trauma, but I only reinforced them because, you know, if you go looking for proof, if you go looking for the proof or evidence of something, that's all you're going to find. Like if you want to find out that you're a liar, you're going to keep finding yourself lying, but you're going to skip over the parts where you're honest about things. If you want to find out you're a loser, you're going to keep doing loser-like behavior. And she helped me uncover a lot of these things, helped me change my mindset, put a little shift in. It's hard to just turn left or turn right. Like we started shifting over and adjusting the mindset and finding truth about you are a good guy. You can do good things. Like stop shaming yourself over things that you've done in your past because there's nothing you can do about those things to change. The only thing you can focus on is now, right? 2 days of the year you can't do nothing about is yesterday and tomorrow. The only thing you might as well focus on is present, right? Get present and focus on the next step you take.
Yeah, and I love that. I think that's solid because when I think about like my journey, like my past, like the past that I went through, like I've done a lot of things in my life that I'm not proud of, you know, like yeah. To my family, to my friends, to people. And it's like, if I focus on those things, then yeah, I could probably come up with a good story about why I'll never make it out, why I'm probably never going to be good enough. Or
and
why,
believe that story.
Yeah,
right?
I could definitely go down that. I've been down that path for most of my life where it was like, I did believe that like I was trouble. I did believe that like if people came around me, they were going to use drugs. I did believe that like I was never going to be good enough. Like I had this idea in my head that my family expected so much of me or that everybody expected that they're always here. You have so much potential. You're just wasting it, you know? And like they meant that in a good way, but in me, it like registered as like I'm never going to be able to amount to the person that I'm expected to be. And so like early on, like as a young teenager or something, when I started using drugs and things started like shifting in my life and I got kicked off my basketball team for using drugs and I got taken, like a lot of situations happened to where it was like, I started truly to believe that like I was a bad kid or I was a bad person and that I was never going to be able to find my way back out. And so I might as well just go all in on being this person. And then it was like that through that struggle of like internal thoughts of like, I'm never going to be successful. I'm never going to have the relationships that I need in my life. I'm never going to find my way. It was like, why try? Like, luckily, like we talked about last week, I did have that internal like voice inside me that God, in my mind, my belief was God like letting me know like you have purpose and once you can figure out these little things that you'll make a huge difference. And so I think where it started like at Wasatch for me is like Todd brought in a friend who wrote that book, The Word Effect. And like in that book, it just talks about like how powerful words are and how the things that we say to ourselves matter and all those things. And in one of the chapters, it talks heavy about like just catching the thoughts, you know, like don't even try to like change them or justify them or anything like that. But just notice when you're saying like I'm a mess up or man, I'm never going to amount to anything or man, like I'm not strong enough. I don't look good enough. I don't have good enough friends. I don't, all those things that keep popping up, like just catch them and notice like, hey, I'm saying this to myself again. Yeah. And then once I did that, I started realizing like I'm doing this the vast majority of the day, like just talking down on myself or other people, you know? And so then as that transitioned into like catching the thought, I started just like trying to like find other things that were actually true that I could align with it, like, yeah. You know, and make the opposite come about as well. And I think that like led into like a lot of like confidence that I was building, you know, and like a lot of people will tell me like that they feel like that I act like I have confidence or that I have like a lot of things going for me and that I got it figured out. And in reality, every single day, confidence has been a struggle for me, you know? Like, confidence is something that I have to, like, really consciously focus on it. But now I'm learning that the repetition and the work that I'm putting in on myself and the what do they say, the proof, you know?
The proof, evidence.
Yeah, kind of. The evidence that's coming through is now making it a whole lot easier to sustain a confident feeling in my self-worth and self-love.
That's weird, because when I, like, you know how you said a bunch of people feel like you have confidence? When I first met you in Wasatch, I felt the same way. It felt like you had a lot of confidence in everything you did. You was always reading. You was always meditating. This guy came through Wasatch, and I was working there. And his work ethic and his program was so dope to watch, because he was all about it. He was doing all these extra things that wasn't asked for by his therapist. He was always meditating, reading, walking around reading, just doing as much as he could. I felt like you had a bunch of confidence in whatever, everything that you was doing up there. It's pretty cool to hear that, like, because we do walk around with this certain vibe that other people will feel off us, but then when they tell us about it, it doesn't feel true, you know? But I feel like if we were to stop, if we were able to sit down with ourselves and see what other people see in us, it would be a dope thing to be able to do, you know? Because, like, I can sit down in a room full of people and look at them and tell them who they are if I conversate with them for, you know, 5 minutes. But then if you ask them if they believe that to be true for themselves, it's still hard for me to hear people say, oh, he's a good guy. He's got good stuff to say. Oh, he's honest. You know, I don't reject it as bad as I did, but it's still weird for me to hear, because going from a spot where I was just 2 years ago to be able to be here now and have some kind of influence or some positive vibe about me is still weird. And it's not necessarily things I don't believe, because I do believe. I find the evidence in not just around me, but from just hearing it back from other people, right? If one person tells me something, it's my word versus theirs. If two people tell me something, it might be a coincidence. But if a bunch of people say the same thing about me, most especially when I'm not around, it's like, well, that's the proof. You know, what more do you need? And I hear it from a bunch of people that you know, I don't need to look for evidence. They tell me about it all the time, which is cool, you know?
And that repetition is becoming, like, what makes that unshakable confidence. I hate the word unshakable confidence. I've been reading a lot about it, but because, like, I think that confidence waxes and wanes no matter what. But the more evidence that you're getting and the consistent feedback and the consistency of you doing the work that you're doing, it's like it's starting to make it to where people, like, it's easier for you to accept it than it was 2 years ago when it was like, you know, I don't feel that way that you're saying it.
When I first started the journey, when people said, you are a good guy, I'll be like, no, if you knew me, if you knew who I thought I was, you know, you wouldn't say that. But then the further along I went, it just became more proof, you know?
Yeah, Jay Shetty talks about this in one of his books, and he also, he learned it in the monastery or whatever, but, like, he says something like, I'm not who I think I am, and I'm not who you think I am, but I am what I think you think I am.
Really?
You get that? Like, it's not really like who I'm believing myself to be in my mind, or it's not like who I think that you think I am, but however I feel like you're judging me is actually the person that I'm acting like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if I feel like that you think I'm a good person, then inside I feel like, you know?
Okay.
But if I think that you think that I'm a liar or whatever that, like, I start feeling those feelings inside of me, because I feel like that you're judging me in these ways, whether it's real or not.
Okay, you know? So here's a question. How, if you feel like people are judging you, what are the things that you can do to combat that?
Yeah, that's actually awesome, bro, because that's where the work came in the confidence it filled for me. It's like, because I did feel like the world judged me. I did feel like that because I was a drug addict, that they looked down on me, that, like, nobody was, didn't really believe that. I always had this, like, complex where it was like, nobody believes I'm going to be successful. Nobody believes I'm going to make it, you know? And so, like, really the work that it took for me was consistent proof practice. Yeah. Like, I consistently every day woke up and meditated. I consistently woke up every day and read a book about the mind. I consistently every day put myself in situations that was building that proof and consistency in myself, to where, like, over a long period of time, that little bit every single day got me to a point where, like, now I can go in a room, like, literally with any person, anybody, and feel like full, you know? I don't feel like, because I'm around millionaires or about
them, right?
It's like I don't feel like that I'm looked down on anymore. I feel like that I'm part of the group, you know? And that took just consistent practice in, like, building who I am. And I think that, like, a lot of everything that we're going to talk about throughout this podcast, the whole life of this podcast, is always going to kind of turn back into, like, those core values. That's actually where it came down to. When Actually, this is the truth of it all, is self-confidence, self-love, and self-worth came because Todd taught me about core values. And it's like, not that I never heard core values in my lifetime, but I started thinking like, what are my core values? Like, what is it that I truly believe is a value in my life? And then Todd started us out with that honesty, integrity, accountability, and service. And I added things to those, you know? Yeah. And then once I realized that those are my core, that's my core. So no matter what, I'm going to base it off of that core and made it to where I had like an unshakable insight. That's like, even if I take hits, even if things get hard, like I know exactly where I'm living from. I'm going to live from honesty. I'm going to live from integrity. I'm going to live from accountability. I'm going to live from compassion. I'm going to live from like a place of like, I truly do believe that I have a light to help the people that are in the struggle. And so like, that's one of my core values, is I'm going to be there for people, you know?
That's so dope.
Yeah, and I really love
truly
that.
Believing that you are a light. Like, I believe that for me too, which is a new thing, you know? Like, it's definitely hard to get to that space, but I truly believe that everything I am now is who I am now, you know? And going back to the judge thing, right? Like, feeling like people judge me all the time is because I've been a defendant my whole life. I've been a victim my whole life. I've been letting people judge me and playing victim to any of their words. And if somebody said I was negative, you said it earlier, somebody said anything negative about me, I was going to be the best negative version of whatever it is they said I was, and prove them to be true. Like, yeah, you know what? I am broken. So I'm going to be the most brokenest piece. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to be the most broken piece in the world, you know? But now I'm the opposite, you know? Like, I found confidence. I'm the same as Mason. I can walk into any room and conversate with anybody regardless of who they are or who they think they are, but I can talk to anybody, which is something brand new for me. Yes. You know, talking to anybody, just sitting down and being able to talk one-on-one with somebody used to be a struggle for me. If you came to my house with somebody as somebody else's plus one, don't talk to me. I don't know you. You know, like, I didn't try to get to know anybody. Now, like, if you're in the room, I'll walk up and say, what up? I like, any meeting I go to, if you made eye contact with me, we're going to meet. I'm going to say, what's up? Yo, if you look at me, like, if I look at you and you're talking to somebody, we're just passing by. But if we lock eyes for a split second, my name is Daniel. You know, like just this.
I love that about you.
Yeah, this confidence thing is new, but I love it. I love being able to be able to be somebody where anybody feel like they can come talk to me about anything, because I don't like talking about things I don't know about. I'm one of those guys that, like, if you hear something from me, it's something I've been through personally with a friend or me, myself, you know? And that's how I am. And that's how I've gained confidence. You know, like somebody told me, discipline takes practice. Practice forms a habit. A habit builds character, and a character defines who you are. And it's going back to doing things over and over and over. And then by putting in the work, there comes proof all around. It just comes along with the path that you choose. You want to be a bad guy, you're going to find proof that you're a bad guy. I'm a good guy now, and I have proof all over my life that I'm a good guy, that I have good things about me, that I have worth of me. I have something valuable to say or be around. I was at a meeting one time and my homie Ashley came and sat next to me because she had a bunch of stuff going in her head. And she told me after the meeting that I just have this comforting vibe about me. And I've never heard that said about me before. So I'll take it. Like, I don't know how I feel outside of me, but she's just going out like, I just needed to be by you because you just have this vibe of comfort. And I feel like more protection and security to give her peace of mind, even though she was just sitting by me, you know? And these are all like that. That's proof that I'm a good guy, you know? Yeah, and I love that about life now.
I want to ask you, bro, what do you think the difference in self-love and self-worth are?
Man, self-love is a bunch of things. There's so many different ways to practice self-love, by the way you eat, by the way you think of yourself, by the way you go about living. But self-worth, I think, is what you tell yourself, right? Like, if you ask anybody that has kids, like, what's your worth? Like, what is your worth?
Yeah.
What is your worth?
My worth, like, I know that, like, I'm a child of God and I'm an infinite being inside. So, like, my spiritual worth is
zero to 100.
100, for yeah. Sure.
Most people you ask that question to will, if you hear them pause, it's because they doubt their self-worth, right? Zero to 100, you ask anybody, what's your worth? Zero to 100. If you hear a pause, it's because they doubt their self-worth. When I first started my recovery program, my recovery journey, my self-worth was nothing. Like, if there was a negative number to add to it, I'd probably give myself that. And then Sean asked this question when I was in process, and he was like, what's your self-worth? I was like, nope. Nothing. I got nothing. I have no value. And then he goes, you got kids? I go, yeah, what's their worth? 0 to 100. And I said, 100. And then he said, well, if your kids are 100, why can't you look at yourself 100? And if you don't put yourself 100, how could you ever live up to be 100, right? Like, it's what you give, it's what you feel you are worth. And I feel like I'm worth 100 right now. It took me a while to get here, but the work I put in for myself to be able to have the confidence into saying that I'm worth 100 took some time. Right. But I'm definitely here now, you know?
And in the beginning, I remember that same like uncomfortability when it was like, are you worth 100, whatever. And yeah. It was like inside, it was like, you know, maybe 60, 70, you know, like I'm pushing.
But it goes back to the lies, right? Mm-hmm. It's the lies and all these made up stuff that we made up ourselves, or the proof that you was looking for. You, of course, you found those things that keep you from saying 100.
Yeah.
Those things.
You know? Wendy one day came in and it was like, so take a $100 bill, a crisp, clean $100 bill. That's worth $100. She's like, if you take that and you tear it a little bit, or you crumble it up and then you just roll it up and make it just looking like it's old and beat up and tattered. She's like, can you still not go take that $100 bill and exchange it for, you know, $100 worth of goods, you know? It's like, that's kind of like where our souls, like, I had to look at it from a spiritual standpoint, because like physically in my life, the actions I was taking, the beliefs that I had, the things that I was going through did not feel like I was worth 100, you know, like I felt like I was falling short in nearly every aspect of my life. But then I had to look at it from a spiritual standpoint. That's like each one of our souls is connected to our God, which is highly more infinitely powerful than we are in these bodies, you know? And so it's like, when I start looking at it from that standpoint, our souls are pure. Like our souls are unblemished and truly like a light of our living God. So it's like, if we have that, if Daniel has that, I have that, we all have that inside of us. Our real form is our spiritual form, and our real spiritual forms are worth infinitely more than 100.
And I feel like both of those go together, like self-love and self-worth, even though they're two different things. But I didn't have self-love for me, so of course I was never going to be worth 100. I had to find out who I was or who I am in order to find love for me. And then when I found love for me, my stock started going up. Like my stock started going up for me. And the more I was able to find out about me, the more love I started showing for myself. I started getting pedicures when I got down here. Don't judge, because the massage is where it's at in a pedicure. But I started taking care of myself, showing myself self-love. Wendy came into one of my groups and challenged me to drink water. Now I drink water all the time. Unless I go out to eat, I'll have a Sprite. You know, self-love. I'll cut my nails, groom up a little bit. All self-love. But the more I was able to find out who I am, show myself love, was the more my stock went up, you know, and it just keep rising.
I would invest in your stock, bro.
Huh?
I would invest in your stock.
Same, bro. Same.
I heard somewhere, I read in a book that said something about like self-love is not, like the self-worth is like what your belief system about it. Like the real true worth is that you're infinitely loved and worthy. But your belief about your worth is really where your self-worth comes in.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so once you can start to like cultivate those ideas about like who you truly are and not who you believe yourself to be, you know,
that's the difference, is the belief and the versus self-love versus and self-worth.
Well, I was going to get to the self-love part is not a belief about anything. Self-love is more like an action, action. The stuff you're talking about, the pedicures, I go to the gym, I make sure that I try to eat healthy. I go out and meditate, or I go out and do hikes in nature. Like that's showing myself love. And so like, and then like Todd always talks about, he always will say something like, if your kids, if you love your kid and
it's the number thing, right?
No, I was talking about like, would you give them drugs?
Oh yeah.
And it's like, so if you love your kid more than anything on this planet, and it's like, would you go and give them drugs? And then Ash is like, obviously no. And it's like, why not? And it's because you love them. It's like, well then why would you do that to yourself? You know?
Yeah.
Like if you truly loved yourself, you wouldn't be putting negative ideas,
poison.
Beliefs. Yeah, poison in physical form or mental form or spiritual form. And it's like, it's not, like I say this all the time and you brought it up last time, but it's like, it's not perfect. No one's perfect.
No.
We are going to go through waxes and wanes and ups and downs and waves of life. And it's like, but the more continuously that we move in the direction of self-love and do things for ourselves to love ourselves and then become a real friend to ourselves and really believe in ourselves, it's like that's really where the confidence gets built. And that's where the confidence will come through in the end and be that part of you that you display to the world.
You know? And it takes work.
Lots of it.
Lots of work. It's easy for us to talk about it right now, but we put in a lot of work to be able to be here. But it's not impossible. I was talking about it with somebody that I work with. Impossible to me, I changed the meaning of impossible to, for me at least, to relate to me. Impossible is just something that I haven't done yet or somebody hasn't done yet. And then when somebody, like, let's say, climbed to the top of the mountain behind residential, if you ask somebody to do it, it's impossible because nobody has done it yet. When somebody achieves the impossible, it changes impossible to incredible, because when you see somebody stand on the mountain, it's not impossible anymore. It's incredible. Right. It's like, damn, he did that.
He made it.
Yeah. So like I was impossible to get here until I did. Now it's incredible. It was impossible for Mason to be here with everything that he's been through in his whole life, with all these negative thoughts, with all these belief systems that was way off. It was impossible for him to be here. But look at him. He's right here. It's incredible that he made it here, you know? Like
miracles.
Yeah. Like, it's incredible to be able to do anything that you've never done before. This is something I've never done before, and I feel incredible doing it, you know? And it's just the finding out who you are, like going back to the self-love and self-worth, finding out who you are, finding love for that person. And the difference between self-love and self-worth is physical thing, physical action, and then self-worth is the belief, right? Finding out who you are, giving action to show yourself love, and then by doing that, it puts your self-worth up.
Builds confidence.
All the way in the end, building confidence, going back to confidence. And yeah, it's just this nice circle that if you work on one thing, it'll start domino effecting into the other things. But it takes work. Right. It's not easy to do, but it's also not impossible.
Well, and the best part about it taking work is like, I think next week I have a couple of ideas where I want to go with, but the next week I was thinking like celebrating your wins, celebrating like the things that you've accomplished, because I think that hard work each step of the way is another, like one of those boosts inside that makes you feel like that proof.
Yeah.
Like I feel good. Like, oh, I did this. Now what else can I do? Now what else can I build? Now what else can I be a part of? And I think that that's probably what kept me driving the very most of why I wake up. My purpose for getting sober, my passion since I've been sober, is like I wake up in the morning, I have a why every single day. Like, yeah. I know what my why is. And because I have that, it's like I get a little bit of accomplishments each day or something happens. And I'm like, I start feeling good about the fact that like I'm doing the work, you know?
Yeah.
And then the journey becomes like the actual blessing in all of it. So like, yeah. Even the hard stuff, when you accomplish through the hard things, it's like, I feel great that I did the thing, you know?
Yeah. And it's going to take work. But if you ever feel like you're struggling, just have the mindset of a baby. And I hear people say that all the time, but my view on the mindset of a baby is, they say, do it like a baby steps, right? And they say, do it like baby steps. I change that to the mindset of a baby trying to walk, right? If you watch a baby try to walk, it'll try to stand up. It'll try to stand up and still fall over. It'll try to gain its balance and tip and fall. But at some point, it'll gain its balance. And then it starts to try to take a step. And then it'll take a step and fumble over. But it'll get back up. It'll take another step, fall over, hit its head on the corner of a table, cry, sit down and cry and cry and process through that what just happened. But it gets back up when it's done crying, you know? Take that mindset of a baby trying to learn how to walk and never give up. Like, if you can be like a baby trying to learn how to walk, you'll always have this drive. You'll always have this passion to be like, nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. You know, like, I'm going to walk. At some point, I'm going to walk. And when I do walk, I'm going to... you said take steps. I'm going to walk, and I'm going to put another foot in front of another faster. Now I'm jogging. Now I'm running. Now nobody can catch me, you know? And just keep pushing. Just keep trying. Like, if it wasn't for that effort, I wouldn't be here where I'm right now. You know, never give up. Have some resilience. Believe in yourself, you know? Get some confidence. Show yourself love.
With that baby, what you said before, I remember you bringing this up before, and something that stuck out to me is, like, that baby never, like, fell and then thought, like, well, I can't do this. This is never going to happen.
Yeah, never.
It just, it always knew that it was going to figure it out. It just needed to make adjustments and keep going, you know?
Yeah, and that's the mindset that we need to have in order to be successful in whatever it is we want to. Like a baby, there's two kind of people that get bit by a snake, right? One will get bit by a snake running, trying to find a venom. The other will get bit by a snake and run and question the snake and tell the snake, I didn't deserve to get bite, right?
Yeah. Why'd you do this to me?
Yeah, why'd you do this to me? Like, just keep pushing. Just go do the next right thing. Go get help if you need to. Go get the venom. But don't give up. Don't be like a baby trying to walk. And just keep pushing.
And I think that, like, with that, like, the confidence thing that you're going to build through that is because of all the proof that you're going to get when you, because, like, it's debatable on 10,000 or 1,000, but they say, like, Edison, like, creating the light bulb, like, he didn't fail that many times. What he did is he found out all these different ways to not create a light bulb. And then the time that it worked is the time that mattered, you know?
Yeah.
And now look at where we're living in this day and age. It's crazy. Yeah.
You know, his success rate is like 0.89, and we still talk about him to this day. Is because he never gave up. He didn't care about, like, any of that. He just wanted to make the light, you know, and just keep pushing. He also said, mistakes are an excuse to start all over with experience. If you make a mistake, that's not the end of the world. Get back up, right? As long as you can learn from what your mistakes was. Find out 10,000 ways. Hopefully it's less than that.
Yeah.
You know, but keep trying.
Well, I think that, like, through the mistakes, I built more confidence than not, because now I know, like, what to avoid, pitfalls, things like that. Like, this came from the struggle.
And all the mistakes build confidence, right? Shoot, I know not to go left on this street. Yep, I know the right way to go. And if you turn, the next turn is wrong too, more confidence in knowing that that's the wrong way to go, you know? Like, I'm glad Christina commented, and I hope we answered her.
Hope so too.
Yeah.
But, and we love people to comment and get involved and, like, let us know what you guys think or what you guys, questions you have or whatever. And we'd love to, like, respond to them and just build this, like, a community. Like we're in this together, you know?
Because
I want you guys to know that you are worthy, you are capable, you are loved, and, like, your past doesn't define you, you or your worth, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, your past is something that got you where you are to teach you whatever lessons or growth you've accomplished, and now you're here. So now what are you going to do with here, you know?
Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Like, your mistakes from the past can't cancel out your value. Like, your value and your worth is 100. And, like, once you can start to believe that, it starts to transform the way you see the world. See yourself, your friends, your family, the way you look at your successes and failures. It's like you start realizing that none of that is tied to who you are as a person, you know? Like, who you are as a person is an amazing being, and that we have each other for that reason, is to reflect back to each other what it's all about. And confidence doesn't come from being perfect. Like,
no.
Confidence comes from a struggle and from learning both the wave, the up and the down, they talked about at a church, consolation and desolation. The consolation is like the inhale, like the nutrients you're bringing in. The desolation is the release, and like you need both. You need the ups and the downs, and both things are going to be the balance that teaches you that this is all possible. Comes from showing up, being real, and trusting in yourself every single day.
Yeah. You know? And the ups and the downs have to happen in our life, right? The downs is where we gain the experience, and the ups is where we feel the confidence. The desolation and the what?
The consolation.
Yeah, that's dope, because, like, when you take a breath, you have to do both. You can't just inhale and be alive. You have to inhale and exhale, right? So you go through life, the ups and downs, and being able to survive both of them is a necessity to be who you are. Like, the downs, what you do about when you get down defines you as a character. And of course, when you get back to the top is where you feel all the confidence, because you was able to make it out whatever ditch you was in.
I love that so much. Yeah. Bro, that's so fire. All right, guys. Well, I hope this episode gave you hope. Subscribe, leave a review. Let's talk about it. Share it with someone who needs the reminder, because healing isn't just personal. It's a movement.
It's a movement. And if you guys want, like, to know anything, or, like, want us wondering what we think about something, leave a comment. You know, like, and we'll interact like that, right?
I love that. Yeah, it's a great idea.
Leave a comment.
And I think that, like, through this next few weeks, like, we're getting established where me and Daniel are going to get, like, 5 or so episodes together and get, like, really established in what we're trying to accomplish here. And then we're going to start bringing on some guests occasionally so that we can get some other insights and keep this thing moving. If you guys are looking to, like, be on the cast too, you can hit us up and, like, let us know. And we can start making a list, because it's going to be a vibe, bro.
It's a vibe already. It's a movement. Yeah.
All right. Love you, brother. Thank you so much. Again, this is awesome. Love you guys. We'll talk soon. Thank you for the support and everybody being here. Have a good one.
Yep. Love you guys.